The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Minister Thomas Byrne is with me here in the Irish Cultural Centre. Minister, how do you reflect on the level of success we've experienced at the Games?
Well, there's two sort of feelings that come into my head, and one is a feeling of pride. And the other is a feeling of gratitude, actually, to the athletes and their families and their teams as to what they've done. Because the athletes and what they've done, I think, is bringing huge pride to the country. And we're all delighted, and everybody's in good form. And you know, when you meet the athletes, you're just delighted to be talking to them and saying hello. And look, we've more to come as well. So they're just doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, listen, we're all looking forward to Rashida tonight. Now, it's going to be a tough task to find herself on the podium, but she has been incredible so far, hasn't she?
Oh, just incredible, and such a fantastic role model. I just loved her line in the post-race interview the other night where she said she felt she was at Morton Stadium, or she was wondering was she at Morton Stadium, because there's so many Irish there. And in fact, when you walk around the city or go on the metro, whatever, like, there's so many Irish and so many Irish flags all over the place at many of the events. And I think that's just wonderful to see. Of course, we are very close to France. It's convenient for people to come. But I think the Irish have made an effort to be here to support our athletes. And I think you can see there, Rashida was very grateful for that. And I think that was a wonderful sentiment from her.
I know, listen, she has enough pressure on her shoulders, so I don't kind of labour this point. But she isn't she just a tonic as well to all of the stuff that we've been dealing with, kind of politicians have been dealing with and society's been dealing with, you know, this kind of pushback against what we describe them as the kind of new Irish communities, and that, you know, this kind of child of Nigerian parents, and that we're all so proud to see her representing us.
I'm really proud, and I certainly don't put any more burdens on her other than her athletic performance. I really don't. She's a young woman from Tala who is doing a fantastic job for Ireland.
Yeah, she absolutely is. Are there kind of lessons to be learned from this Olympic experience in terms of kind of policy making and funding around sport into the future?
Yeah, I think it's important that we do that. Look, if a country did badly, there'd be all sorts of lessons to be learned. In fact, I met another ministerial colleague whose country has not hit the medals table yet, and she said, I was saying I was doing an interview, and she goes, "Well, your interview is going to be easier than mine," the minister said. And that is true, but I also think it's important that even in these successful games, our most successful ever, that we do actually learn the lessons and how can we improve from it. And that work is already under consideration in the minds of our high performance unit, Sport Ireland, the department in terms of funding, and the Olympic Federation. They're already looking ahead to LA and to the competitions in between now and LA. So that work is actually already in the minds, and there'll be a review done very soon by those professionals. And we will certainly react to that in a very, very positive way.
And is the role of government in terms of policy making just ensuring that kind of funding and facilities are available, and then you kind of you let those governing bodies apply their expertise, or you know, how does that balance work?
Well, we want the governing bodies to concentrate in sport. I mean, I've made a number of demands of governing bodies, and they're all happy to meet them. One is that they have 40% women on their boards. The other is that they have good governance. They're all on those pages, and I think that's really important because the sport follows from that then. But they're the sporting experts, so we don't make sporting... We in government don't make the sporting requirements. We write the cheque. I mean, you go back to the initiation of the sports campus. That was quite controversial at the time. When that was first proposed, but the sports campus is really now of an international standard. The high performance unit there is of an international standard, and if you talk to some of the athletes who were there a number of Olympics ago, and there are some of them, they will say that it is just a completely different world for Irish sports people in terms of the supports that are available to them. We can always go more, but the figures speak for themselves. We're spending 50% more on this Olympics to our high-performance athletes than we were in the run-up to the previous Olympics. And that will continue. In terms of investment, it's very important to concentrate on all the grassroots around the country as well. The Sports Capital Programme will be at least $250 million announced in September this year. That goes to clubs all around the country. Skibbereen Rowing Club, for example, there was already equipment grants given out. They got $200,000 for new boats, for example. But only in 2019, the figure for that was about $60 million. So the investment in sport, and which is really in our country's future and our children's future, our young people's future, has skyrocketed, and that has brought political support, but it's something that I'm very keen to continue, and I'm really looking forward to some big announcements on sports capital for clubs, large-scale funds as well in the autumn, and we announced as well the Velodrome and the Badminton Centre will go to tender at the sports campus now in the coming weeks and months.
One area that some people might suggest that we compare poorly with other European countries when it comes to facilities is it's less the high performance that we're catching up, and Abbottstown Liston, it has been transformational, absolutely anybody who's out there will tell you that. It's that we maybe don't have the same municipal sports facilities that they might be used to in the continent.
Well, I would agree with that to some extent and completely disagree with it to another extent. Yes, our local councils have not been on the page of providing municipal sports facilities, and that's a fact. How are we changing that? We're now starting a process of implementing, of councils implementing local sports plans, like development plans, but for sports. So there's a number of them already, just on a pilot phase at the moment. But that has started under us, and it's very important that that continues. And they need to be out there making sure that they are providing the facilities. Government is able to provide the money, but they need to really take ownership of that. Now, I would say, disagreeing fundamentally with that, the Sports Capital Programme, which councils can avail of, but by and large it's clubs who avail of it around the country. If you look around the GAA facilities around the country, absolutely incredible. I have to say, in athletics, there are a lot of running tracks all around the country, some under construction. Phil Healy's own club in Bandon, if you go down there, it's a massive construction site. And we are seeing a big increase in sports facilities around the country. We had an issue where football clubs, soccer clubs, weren't applying for sports capital in the same number, and to an extent boxing clubs as well. And we did put a special effort in this round of the sports capital programme to encourage football clubs to apply. That has worked. The number of applications from football clubs and the amount sought has gone up. Boxing clubs, I hope, the same as well. But then again, even with boxing, there are lots of examples of boxing clubs around the country which the sports capital programme has helped to fund in terms of equipment. And we'll continue that work.
What some of those boxing clubs I know say is that they find it sometimes that, I kind of want to be delicate here, but you know, boxing is more weighted towards kind of working class communities. That's where you just to find them. That is just a kind of statement of fact that that's where a lot of our kind of heroes in the ring have come from, those communities. And they would say, listen, we often don't have maybe the professional expertise within the club to be kind of filling out the forms to the same degree. You know, that they're kind of the bigger sports in the country are just better equipped at applying for the money.
Yeah, that is true. And over years, maybe the GAA was excellent at applying for money, and we have really good facilities there. What we're trying to do is encourage facilities to share premises as well, and there's huge opportunities for boxing there. But I have to say, and I certainly look forward to the announcements, but we did work with the Irish Amateur Boxing Association in this round to make sure that they were giving the advice to boxing clubs around the country, just like the FAI with soccer, to make sure that they're applying for funding in the greatest possible numbers. And we did reach out to them, and we encourage our local sports partnerships around the country to reach out as well, to make sure that not just boxing, football, GAA, but all sports were applying for sports capital funding. And the amount of money that's going to be given out now in September, as I said, it's five or six times what was given out in 2019. Like we are seeing a step change in the facilities that are there all around the country in all sports. Minister Jack Chambers in the last round was 166 million. So there's been a massive increase in that. And I think I want to thank the clubs and communities who have applied for it. And I think we are beginning to see really huge improvements. The local authorities do have to start looking at how can they provide facilities. I think one of the things I've noticed in Paris, though, and I have to say this, there's only one new venue. That's the diving pool. I think it's the diving pool, not the main swimming pool. The rest are all reused venues. The boxing in the earlier rounds, not the final, was in the Parc des Expositions. It's like the RDS, and they just put the seating there and created the arena. Yeah. So, yes, it costs a lot of money, but they didn't build Taj Mahals for this. And I do worry sometimes about proposals for facilities in Ireland. That there are some proposals out there that really just go too far. Like, you know, I mean, there's a lot you can do with lower money and share it out around the place. And I have to say, I think the French did. My observation is that the French did a good job on that in these Olympics, obviously at a much bigger scale.
And is that the vision you would have, say, these pilot projects that have been rolled out through local authorities, that it's a version of that? It's local authorities kind of going after low-hanging fruit, that there's kind of that there's property that they have, that there's space in towns or cities or local communities wherein you can put in kind of I don't know, like a kind of an outdoor velodrome is actually just concrete a lot of the time, you know, that type of thing. And you see them a lot, like it sounds like a fantastical idea in Ireland because we don't have them and we're only building a big high performance one. But you go to little kind of communities in France and they've got these little concrete velodromes outside the town.
Yeah, and we need a lot more sports halls as well. Now, my vision actually is of sharing facilities. So in this round of the Sports Capital Programme, I incentivised the sharing of facilities to a much greater degree than we already were doing. So what we said was where there were community groups who are putting together facilities for more than one sport, like a local authority would do, but this wouldn't be local authority, we allow them to apply for a higher grant. And that was to encourage genuine sharing of facilities, not just the local GAA club allowing in, you know, the soccer club to play on a Saturday morning or whatever, on their all weather. This is where the community groups come together, and that it's about trying to maximise the amount of space we have there. But local authority is going to have to take a lead on it because not every community can put forward these proposals. And I have to say as well, the numbers of volunteers are going down too, and that's a concern too because a lot of these clubs depend on, you know, a small number of volunteers who put the applications together, as we've already discussed. But look, I think it's great news this week, and I really believe the government has come to the table with the required funding and will continue to do so.
And what role do you see for schools, or what part do they play in the picture in terms of this kind of shared facilities? It's actually something the GAA as well are very good at. They kind of identified this a few years ago that, you know, in the middle of the day they had pitches empty, in the evening schools had pitches empty, and you see a lot of kind of partnerships in that regard. Do you see kind of schools linking in as well with these plans?
Well, we need more of that, and I'm in the Department of Education as well on physical education, and one of the things that we have done now is that we've put together guidelines, procedures we call them, for the sharing of facilities of school properties. And yeah, there's a lot of schools that do share the facilities, but there's quite a number that don't. And they really have to get with the programme. And I think these procedures that we publish are designed to, I suppose, encourage but also help in terms of, you know, what needs to be done. And I think certainly I would certainly want every education training board to be opening up their schools because they certainly have the people to manage that. But I think all schools can and should share the facilities. That's a strong message coming from government, and we have now written procedures to facilitate that.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you think of it, how many of us, I don't know about you, Minister, I certainly never had a go at the pole vault or something when I was in school. And, you know, kids in the UK in school or kids in France, they would get to try these sports. And it's probably unrealistic to imagine that every national school is going to be out with kind of a pole vault coach, you know, trying to kind of identify talent. But if you've got 10 or 15 schools kind of in an area and they can kind of pool resources, or they can lean on the local athletics club as well and share those resources, that's maybe how that picture gets painted.
Well, I think actually there is a lot of scope on the field. I was there last night. Kate O'Connor was in the heptathlon, and she was doing the shot put at one point. The javelin was going on as well. And actually, I think one of the things that we were discussing there among ourselves is just, I think we have potential that we're not using at the moment for talent transfer. Like, there's a lot of GAA players out there who could probably do well at some of those sports, shot put, hammer, javelin, etc. I think that's something I think we should probably look at, because
better talent ID, as they call it,
talent ID or talent transfer. I think we need to look at it. I think, look, we'll be more than happy to talk to Athletics Ireland about how that could be implemented. That would obviously require some resourcing, but I think that is one area where maybe we've seen some brilliant athletes out here, but it's probably something that, you know, Ireland could probably provide more athletes to.
What sports have you enjoyed watching the most?
Well, I
can't say them all.
Well, I've enjoyed every bit of it, to be honest with you. And there's a lot I'd like to have gone to, but I've only really gone to events where there's an Irish competitor. But the swimming was fantastic. I mean, the boxing was just an incredible atmosphere. The Stade de France as well. It's just superb to be there. I think the river swim this morning was something special, even though Daniel was 18. But I mean, it's kind of poetic in a way, because Jack B. Yeats won a gold medal 100 years ago for a painting called the Liffey Swim, and here Daniel Whiffen is the first Irish person 100 years later to do the river swim in the Olympics. So that was just fantastic. But all of them there, the rowing, you know, Reese McLenahan, just fantastic to be there. And do you know what? We've seen it on the telly not too often, but when an Irish flag is raised and our On the Venus played at the Olympics, but to be actually present for that, and I was there for two. I was there for Reese McLennan, and I was there for the Paul and Fintan. It is just incredible, an incredible experience, and just such pride and gratitude is all I can say.
The civic reception as well. I mean, a lot of people will welcome that.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, it's
Dublin City Council announced it on the news, did they? Yeah. Some of the athletes here I was talking to in the Irish Cultural Centre didn't know about it.
Yeah, well, I know they. The government was certainly informed by Dublin City Council about it.
At least they informed you.
Yeah, I think the athletes will be very happy to take the deserved accolades. There's a number of events over the coming weeks. There's another event in Dublin Castle as well in terms of the Olympic Federation, and then the Olympic Ball as well, where they'll have a big and proper celebration. And also as well, the Paralympics are coming up, and all those athletes are training at the moment. I think in Portugal they went off the other day, so we wish them well, and it's going to be a great Games for Ireland in the Paralympics as well. I've no doubt about that.
Mr. Thomas Byrne, Minister, thanks a million.
Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.